Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
Well, sisters, it's that very spooky, scary time of year. That very eerie, ooky, pooky time of year.
Spoopy.
When we celebrate Grandparents' Day. Ooh.
What?
Grandparents' Day. Woo.
I think you have
a Halloween.
Basic confusion happening here.
Today apparently was Grandparents' Day, at least at my child's school. I don't know if the rest of the world were celebrating their grandparents. Although, you know what? If you're not celebrating your grandparents today, why not?
Because I think Grandparents' Day should be every day.
That's right. Grandparents are great.
Also, can there be like a middle-aged child day? Because we don't get days a lot.
Tay, there has to be a middle child day. There has to be. There's a day for
you know
everything.
What? There's not, though. Be. If there's not a day for somebody, it's the middle child. Other middle children will agree with me.
That's because middle children always think that nothing is for them when actually everything becomes about them.
I think you're speaking very specifically about one middle child. I don't think that's fair.
I don't know. I have experience with at least two middle children, personally, and I think they're good about making everything about them, plenty.
Nope. Okay, I don't deserve that. Maybe Travis does. Let's be honest. We know what you're talking about.
So, no, it is not Middle Child Day. I'm sorry.
Duh.
We'll celebrate that every other day of the year. Today, we are celebrating our grandparents. And so mom and dad got to go to school and Charlie's little class sang a song about grandparents. Well, actually, all the classes did, starting with like they do like a daycare. So they started with the daycare with like, I mean, these kids, like some of them are babies, like straight up like 6 months old.
Did they sing?
I mean, no, like the 6 months old didn't like sing, but it was very strange because like mom sent me a picture and she was like, because it was just for grandparents, so like I wasn't there, but like she sent me a picture and she was like, look, they did like the little kids. And it was very strange because it like some of them are like two. So like, okay, you know, they're doing something. They're kind of dancing around. They're saying some words, but like some of them were straight up infants. And they're just like, people are holding them and they're just like staring at everybody like, what is happening?
I mean, I learned this weekend that your baby could sing and she's an infant.
That's fair.
I mean, that's fair. It's not just kind of a la, la, la. But I love it.
She opens her mouth like and moves her mouth like she's in a bad dub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a small monster behind her singing and she's just.
La, la, la. I don't know why she does that.
There's a tiny demon deep inside.
But they paired, it was very clever, they paired Grandparents' Day, which, by the way, one of the songs they sang, they just rewrote the words to other songs.
Yeah.
And one of them was You Are My Sunshine, except for it was about grandparents. So I think that was intentional, like not just aimed at my mom, but
just moms.
Moms.
Oh, no.
One dad.
And dads.
Everybody.
They both like, cried, didn't they?
Oh, I'm sure the whole room was crying. Everybody's crying. And then after it's over, they're like, now we are having the school book fair. So if you want to take your grandchildren to the school book fair, we welcome you grandparents to
Wait
take them there.
Wait a second.
If you maybe want to purchase a book or two.
Or 20.
We have toys also. Go ahead.
So what you're telling me is Grandparents' Day is a made-up holiday invented by the book fair to sell books.
If someone designed one of those little traps where, like, you set up a box with a ruler propped up and, like, you have to get something to get the person to go into the box, that'd be moms. Just like the song with
uh-huh.
Charlie singing it and
yes.
then her school book fair, mom would just follow that candy trail
exactly.
right into that box.
Right into the book fair where I mean, don't get me wrong. I have a we always welcome books in this house policy. That I don't have that policy with all things that you could buy my child, but with books, like, fine.
Yeah, but the books at the book fair aren't books.
Some of them are not. Some of them I would call more like activities and
yeah.
less book.
And some just toys.
Some of them are toys. So the one of them was just a straight up, it was a toy.
Not a book.
Not in any way. There were no words printed on it. It was not a book. But there were books in there. There were books. I always loved the book fair.
I did too.
I feel like the book fair has always been in, it's always been in fall, but I feel like it's always been in October because I always want to buy spooky stuff, but specifically I remember there's like counting down the days till I could buy the newest Goosebumps and any new like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark collections. Like that's what you went to the book fair for.
I remember that. I remember looking for those. I looked for all kinds of books. I was always just one who would like randomly pick books that looked interesting and just delve into a whole new series that way. Do you remember they always sold like a lot of posters of like sports cars?
Uh-huh. And kitties. I bought a that's where I got. And I owned like the original, often mocked, but rarely seen, the kitten hanging on a rope. And it said, hang in there.
Oh, no.
Which is actually like, it's kind of a really desperate image. Like, because it's this tiny little kitten just hanging on by like a claw each to this rope. And it's like, hang in there, but you're definitely not going to get back on that rope. We all know this.
That's really true, because it's not kind of like a, aw, hang in there. It's like a, no, seriously, hang in there.
You are going to fall off this rope, and I don't... You were up against a sky blue background. I have no idea where the floor is.
We're sending in a rescue team. Hang in there.
I think this explains so much in my life. Like, that's the image that hung on my wall. And it's like, yeah, I get it. Never not that kitten.
I don't remember ever purchasing the posters, just the books. But I always remember, like, coming back from the book fair and all the kids in the class having posters and me thinking, like, surely that's not the purpose of this. Is that the secret? The secret job of the book fair is to get all kids to like paper their walls in fancy sports cars and
buy the weird pencils that are like rubber. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That bend.
Uh huh.
Or the ones that smell good.
Yeah. Weird pencils.
Weird pencils.
Weird erasers. Weird pencils and erasers were a big part of the book fair.
I was always guilty of getting those books that were just like quiz books. Like you ask your friends, like, do you like summer or fall? What's your favorite color? And you write in all their answers on all the different pages. I always got those.
Yeah. I totally remember like the quote unquote cool boys. And we're talking like third grade. So nobody was cool. But like comparing the car posters that they bought in the classroom after the book fair. Like I got a red Corvette. Well, I got this like silver like Jeep. And like mine's cooler. No, mine's cooler. It's like, oh, you guys are going to do this for the rest of your lives.
And there's always that moment where the teacher had to be like, yeah, go put your book fair stuff away. Because all you're going to do for the rest of the day is want to talk about book fair stuff. And we have other things to do in elementary school.
I was one of the few kids that was like, but can I just keep reading? Is it okay if I just read this book?
No. Okay.
Okay.
Sydney, we're going to have you read other books now. Oh, thank God.
Okay. Just so long as I'm reading and not communicating with anyone else in the room except the teacher. Thank you.
Is that what you sounded like when you were a kid?
I'm assuming.
Okay.
When I see myself at that age, I assume that's probably the voice that came out. I just want to hang out with the teacher. Gosh, Charlie said that to me the other day. I just want to talk with the teachers. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
You are mine. I have made
the,
you.
The sins of the mother. It's not just Grandparents' Day and Book Fair Day. That is not the spooky time of year. I tricked you all.
Well, I don't think you'd... I don't know about that.
It is Halloween, and keeping with the theme, we instead are going to talk about haunted houses.
Ooh. Spook.
They are not as filled with information as a book fair, but they are things that kids like to attend.
They're filled with thrills, chills, sometimes spills.
Uh-oh.
Less grandparents, clearly.
Hopefully no kills.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. Ills, maybe.
Ills, you could be. Ills. I've seen people vomit in them.
Bills, you need bills to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Dollar bills.
Maybe some frills.
Yeah.
Maybe some frills, depending on the fancy level of the haunted house you're going to.
It could be like a dead baby doll or like a Victorian lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you say quills?
Mm-hmm.
Could be some quills. Could be some Wills.
Mm-hmm. Like guy's name Will?
Guy's name Will. I don't know what started this. I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway, haunted houses.
Yeah. Things that don't have an ill sound at the end can also still be in a haunted house. So
yes.
Yeah. Like you and me and all of your teen friends. Not with me, because that'd be weird if I was taking a group of teenagers to a haunted house. What am I doing? I'm 35.
I think you're setting yourself up for the index kill in a horror movie, just clearly.
I remember one of the my favorite haunted houses is the one that, strangely, we made in Riley's elementary school art building.
Mm-hmm. A very, very small building. Yeah. It's a room that stands alone.
It's weird now that I think about, by the way, that there was a specific building out back that was the art building.
Art and music. Half of this building was a room for music and half of this building was a room for art.
Like, why weren't there classrooms?
I don't know.
Because it was like a little outbuilding. It was like a large shed, which encompassed all of art and music. But anyway, we turned it into a very spooky haunted house.
Well.
How old were you?
Elementary school, maybe third grade, fourth grade.
Mm-hmm. And we like hung up trash bags to make like.
Everything,
you know,
black.
Everything dark and to like make the walls, you know. That's the classic haunted house move, right? Sure. Trash bag walls.
Sure. Mm-hmm. There was some part where I think Justin was a vampire that led these groups of children through. This very, very small haunted house.
And then I think you're right that I was the doctor with, like, a chopped up person.
Mm-hmm. And, like, fake guts. Yeah. Justin was like, want to stick your hand in? I'm like, no, it's gelatin.
That was maybe a little scary.
Yeah, maybe. For like, 8-year-olds. Yeah.
Also probably bad for your brand, Sid. I don't know if that's, you know.
Is that allowed?
Right, as a doctor?
I was not a doctor yet, to be fair.
Okay, that's true.
Once you become a real doctor, you're no longer allowed to be a fake doctor.
And I think, like, I was, like, a fake spooky doctor. You know, they always do that in haunted houses. Like
the mad scientist.
Yes. Hmm. Like, clearly not. I was not impersonating a physician.
Yeah. Dad was in there, too, somewhere. I don't really know what Dad's role was.
I don't remember that. I don't think Mom was in it, but if she was, she did this once. Taylor, you may remember this when we were little. She set up a haunted house at that rec center that we used to spend a lot of time at when we were kids, that Mom volunteered at. She set up a haunted house, and she was like a fortune teller because she turned like a fish tank into a crystal ball.
I remember that.
She may have also done that for this haunted house, now that you say that. That sounds very familiar. Mm-hmm.
I still remember, like, that fish tank crystal ball. I don't know why that stands out to me, but she turned it into a crystal ball and did, like, a fortune-telling thing. I think she was having, like, a very Stevie Nicks moment.
Yeah. It's very crafty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, not one of the spookiest haunted houses.
No. It was also very short. It was like, oh, you walk through and, oh, there's a spooky doctor. Oh, a spooky fortune-teller. Oh, you're out. That's it. That's it.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the art building. I was always a little overwhelmed by haunted houses. As much as I like watching scary movies and things, when I actually got in haunted houses, I was the person who like would have somebody in front of me that I was just holding onto the back of their shirt with my head down. And, like, technically, I would go through the whole thing.
Without looking at anything.
But I would not see anything other than my feet.
Yeah. Have we talked about the best haunted house, which is the spooky ride at Camden Park?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like we may have mentioned
this. Yeah, because we talked about the wall of gum. Yeah. You open your
eyes.
That's
only scary from a hygienic standpoint.
Yeah, it is. It's our local amusement park that is... excellent.
Also kind of scary in the sense that you don't know if it's gonna stop working or not.
Or if you're gonna get tetanus or not. I mean, many things are scary there.
Many real life scaries.
But you, there is a wall that is entirely covered in wads of gum in the haunted house. Mm-hmm. That, like, because you're on a little car on a track, and as you go past it, I guess you could add your gum to the wall. But it is scary because you accelerate towards the wall. And then turn suddenly, and you're not just accelerating towards a wall, like, I'm going to crash. It's like, almost, I'm going to crash into this wall that is covered in hundreds of wads of chewed gum. I am having like
any other wall.
Like this is like a doctor's nightmare.
Well, and they also have it lit by a black light, so it's like the glowing wads of gum. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
just shiny and fluorescent.
Oh, anyway. Yeah.
See, I don't. I'm very much like haunted house specifically. Like I'm one of those like I laugh when I'm scared. And mm-hmm. I feel like I can't look away. Like, I don't know what I'm trying to prove, but I'm definitely trying very hard to prove it. AKA mm-hmm. the person that get picked on the most in a haunted house because that's the most annoying person to have going through. Like, yeah. I'm not afraid of you. Oh, a chainsaw. Oh, I'm so scared. And inside I'm like, I'm so scared.
Yeah. I'm the opposite person. I'm the person that gets so scared that there have been times where the people working feel bad and they're like, no, we're just like... We're fine. You're fine. Like, I went to one with a friend at an amusement park that was supposed to be sorority house themed. And the first thing they had you do when you go in was put on blindfolds and then take a shot of a mysterious liquid that I think was like just Kool-Aid or water.
That seems dicey, but
it
continue.
Does seem dicey. But they immediately come up to all of you and hand you like these like plush sleep masks. And they're like, put on a sleep mask. We're having a sleepover. This is your like, I don't know, whatever you do when you join a sorority. Uh-huh. And I was there and I was like, oh, I can't. Like, I'm not going to put on the blindfold. I was telling these people, and I never like confrontation with anyone in any position of authority. I was like, y'all know, I'm not putting on that blindfold. And they were like, okay, come with us. Just real quick, just come with us. Mm-hmm. And I thought they were stealing me, but really they just took me to the back and let me spook my friends. But they also told my friends that I had been kidnapped. So, you know.
See, I probably should avoid haunted houses because I am the person. I remember doing this. There was something that we used to have locally called the Haunted Trail, and it was really scary. Tay, did you do the Haunted Trail when you were a teenager?
Where was that? In the park?
At the park.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was at Ritter Park at our local park, and they would they would lead you kind of through like the woods around the park, basically, because like our park is. It's like there's the park and then there's all the woods around it. And mm-hmm. so they would kind of lead you around through the wood part of it, not just out in the open, because that doesn't sound very scary, does it? Just walking through a park. But you were secluded and it was at night, and you would go as a teenager with all your friends because it was scary and it was like the cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. And they inevitably, the scariest moment is always like a guy chasing you with a chainsaw. That was the haunted trails. Like,
yeah.
Isn't that always the number one fear of any haunted corn maze trail outdoor thing? There's always a guy with a chainsaw.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I am scared of it from a very practical standpoint, in that it is dark and it is uneven ground, and I don't know if that's a real chainsaw or not, and I'm afraid you're gonna trip.
And I'm almost positive like haunted trail in a park in West Virginia, it's a real chainsaw.
It could be. Like, I am not... I know that sounds very naive, but, like, there's a decent chance it's a real chainsaw.
It could be.
But I was the person who, like, if people got too close to me, tried to, like, jump out or chase me and got too close, I become angry and begin yelling at them, which is not a great look.
No.
I'm the person who goes to, like, seriously, don't touch me. Seriously, don't touch me. Until I'm, like, yelling, like, I am serious. Don't touch me. Stay away from me. Whatever you do, just don't touch me and we'll be fine. Like, that's me.
I think that
and that's
always...
not really fun.
Yeah. So you have between fight or flight, you were more of a fight.
Yes. I decide, like, I'm going to punch this chainsaw guy in the face if he comes at me one more time. I've never done that. I'm not saying I would do that. But, like, that's my, that's what my reptilian brain is telling me to do.
Yeah.
Apparently mine's very broken, because mine is like, make a funny pun joke. Laugh, cower.
I think my number one question before going to any haunted house has always been, can they touch you? Like, if they can just look at me, if they can chase me, fine. Can they touch you? If they can touch me, I don't know if I can.
Didn't we take you to the asylum one time?
Mm-mm.
Oh, we never taken you there.
I remember you telling me about it, and you, I said, can they touch you? And
maybe
you
that's
said
what I'm thinking of.
Yes, and I said no. I cannot.
I remember you being in line for things and saying like a billion times, but can they touch you? And me being like, no, Riley, but can they touch you? No, Riley.
Yeah, that's just like, I don't like when people. I don't like when people I know touch me without asking me first. Like, if some random
that's fair
person dressed as a clown comes up to you and starts like for example, there is a haunted house that is like a haunted house trilogy experience adventure that is out in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia where there it's actually scary because there is no cell service. Mm-hmm. That's the scariest part. But the first part's fun. Like, you get in the back of this, like, flatbed truck, and there's hay bales, and they drive really slow, and there's paintball guns around the edges, and you shoot at people dressed as zombies that are slowly walking towards you.
Real paintballs?
Yeah, but they're wearing, like, all protective gear. They're just covered in, like, you know,
yeah, but still.
Camo stuff. But, I mean, they're all actors, of course. Like, they signed up.
I hope they're well paid if they're just getting
I don't know. I don't know about that. But the second part's a corn maze, and the last part's a big house that's real spooky. And there are no rules at this place. And there was a guy that had a chainsaw, except he didn't just chase you. He would, like, slowly walk up behind you and start, like, breathing on your neck. And, like, he'd, like, grab your hair. Not, like, grab it, but, like, gently brush against your hair. It's like, please, please. I'd, like, literally anything else. Ooh. Chase me. I don't care. Please, literally anything else.
See, I am not, I am very much about haunted houses that have that, like, as you're walking in and you're waiting in line, the people are saying over and over again, do not touch them. They will not touch you.
That,
do not touch them. They will not touch, because I'm fine with that social contract.
Don't have to worry about it. I won't touch you. We're good.
That's really a good social contract for life. Do not touch them and they will not touch you.
Sure. But, I mean, for me, when I go to a haunted house, I do want to be scared. And I think, like, If they're saying that in line, I'm kind of like, so then what's the difference between this and just, like, playing a spooky video game or
Taylor
or
wants them to touch her.
Well, it's just, it's that level touch of safety. Me. It's like, it's the difference between, like, you know, like, exploring a spooky abandoned house or, like, I don't know, like, riding a roller coaster that has a million safety checks. It's like, I know I'm going to get on this roller coaster and everything's going to be fine. It's going to seem like it's scary, but everything's going to be fine. Versus, like, who knows what could happen. That's
Taylor wants
real
some
scary.
Real terror in her haunted houses. She wants the real possibility that something might happen,
like,
to her.
You know, when they come out and they make you sign a waiver, I'm like, oh, yeah, I signed my life away. Let's see what happens to it. I like the waiver haunted houses.
I want to talk more about that because I really think that the nature of the haunted house has changed over time. I think a lot of that has to do with, like, people who are making haunted houses at their own houses, you know, like,
yes,
at their own homes.
Yeah.
Home haunters. But before we talk about that,
let's check the group message. Beep, boop, boop. There we go.
Good group message.
I missed that.
So Cooper took it over for a while with baby sounds.
That's true.
Our first sponsor we want to tell you about this week on Still Buffering is Green Chef, a USDA certified organic company that includes everything you need to easily cook delicious meals that you can feel good about. Now, the really cool thing about Green Chefs specifically is that they have all kinds of different meal plans for you to try. So it's something that you can really customize to, you know, the way you eat and to your lifestyle, which is really nice. So that you know that what you're paying for and what you're getting is going to be stuff that you actually will eat and enjoy. And those include things like paleo and vegan and vegetarian and keto and gluten-free and omnivore and carnivore. Each ingredient is thoughtfully sourced and its journey tracked from planting to plating. So you can let Green Chef do the meal planning, grocery shopping, and most of the prep for you week after week. We've all tried Green Chef.
We have.
Mm-hmm. And we have all had successful meal experiences with it. Even their vegan meals, huh, Tay?
Yeah, no, their vegan meals are awesome. They have a variety of organic ingredients. I mean, they're delicious. As I've said before, I am no cook, but somehow I don't manage to destroy them. I've impressed many a friend with them, not just on the fact of, like, hey, look, I made this and I don't know how I did that, but also, like, it's vegan and you didn't even, like, know. That's when you know you're having good vegan food, when, like, carnivores are like, man, this is good. I'm like, haha, it's vegan, tricked you.
Well, and I will attest to that, because some of the meal plans that I've tried through Green Chef have not necessarily been, I mean, I'll eat pretty much anything, that's the vor I am.
Yeah.
I will eat anything, but even the meals that we've gotten that are, you know, keto or vegan or, you know, something that I don't necessarily stick to, gluten-free, are really yummy. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
It is.
So if you want to check out Green Chef, Riley, what should they do?
You can get $50 off of your first box of Green Chef, which is such a good deal. And all you have to do is go to greenchef.us/buffering. That's greenchef.us/buffering for $50 off your first box of Green Chef.
Now, sisters, let's say that you've got a home haunt and you want to advertise it,
nice.
But you don't have a website.
Wah, wah.
You need Squarespace.
Yep.
That's right. Especially me. If I had to make a website, I wouldn't even know where to start, except Squarespace has my back because they can help me create a beautiful website about my super spooky home haunt and showcase all of the hard work I've done making fake scary things in my yard and walls out of garbage bags.
All of your wonders wonderments mm-hmm. of inflatables.
That's right. My entire fantasy of inflatables can be showcased on my home haunt site. I don't have a URL for it yet. Working on it. And I can announce upcoming times and days that you can attend it and what special projects we're working on. And they do this by giving you beautiful templates that are created by world-class designers. They've got powerful e-commerce functionality. So if I want to go ahead and start like selling home haunt kits to you to start your home haunt, I can do that with Squarespace. They've got free and secure hosting and nothing to patch or upgrade ever. So, Taylor, if our listeners want to make their own wonderful, beautiful home haunt or otherwise website, what should they do?
Well, they should go to squarespace.com/buffering. You can get a free trial, and then when you're ready to launch your site, you can use the offer code buffering and get 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. So go to squarespace.com/buffering, make your site. When you're ready to launch, use code buffering and save 10% off.
So I really do think that over time, and I am not someone who attends, like, Taylor, like you've mentioned, the more extreme haunted houses.
Nor am I.
Yeah, that's just not my bag. The one we referenced, by the way, Weston, is called the Asylum, I think is actually the name of the haunted house part mm-hmm. of it. And it is housed in a former psychiatric hospital in the middle of West Virginia. It's a beautiful building, by the way. Have I said this before? It's the second largest freestanding stone structure on Earth.
Wow.
After the Kremlin.
Crazy.
It's in the middle of West Virginia. Giant hospital, very beautiful building. And you can do like tours of it too. Like they'll
Not
do that.
Spooky.
You can even like stay the night in it, and it's just, I mean, like they don't, as far as I know, there is no like trick to it. You just you can go stay the night there if you pay.
The trick is that there are ghosts.
Yeah, that's a pretty good trick.
But they do turn one of the other buildings, because it's like a collection of buildings, they do turn one of the buildings into an actual haunted house. And I will say that it was one. They can't touch you. They can like brush up against you, but they're not going to grab you. Mm-hmm. They don't do that kind of thing. They don't like try to restrain you or keep you somewhere.
Yeah.
But they can get super close to you.
Yeah.
And they do something that I think for me is a bridge too far in a haunted house, and that's they use kids.
Mm-hmm. Spooky kids.
Yes.
Spooky kids.
I find that so scary, because that was the thing, is I was following Justin through it, clinging to the back of his sweatshirt, like looking down at my feet, terrified in this thing. And as I'm looking down, a little kid, a little like scary ghost kid, looks up at me, like comes and like peeks up under.
Oh.
And I just I've never been so scared.
I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah. So even that is a little much for me. And certainly with like touching or grabbing. But I feel like as you see more like independent haunts, and especially places like some of these places, I don't think charge money.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are home haunters who do it for free.
Even. Yeah.
I feel like that with that kind of starts to go any rules.
Yeah.
Or can. Not necessarily. There are certainly, if you've ever watched The American Scream, you know, please watch this documentary. I love these people who make these home haunts. It's wonderful. It just warms my heart. But anyway, I think things are changing.
I feel like at some point I have been willing to sacrifice the authenticity of my spooks for rules. Like, I understand this is an amusement park. This is a commercial place. And this haunted house is probably going to be like 5 minutes long. And there are 10 of them in this entire park. And it's probably not going to be super spooky, but they aren't going to touch me. They aren't going to get super close to me. and it's not going to be too spooky. That's my level. Mm-hmm. I'm good at that level. I like rules.
Riley is willing to sacrifice freedom for security.
I am. Interesting. I am.
I have never been to the really extreme ones. Tay, I know you've experienced some of them.
I did blackout a couple years ago. And it's changed from what I haven't done it in a few years, but I read a review of it, I think last year, because I was thinking of going again. And one of the things that I thought was terrifying the year I went was that you had to go through it alone.
No,
you were separate. No. You went through one at a time.
I would never.
You signed a waiver. You have to crawl. You have to run. They can touch you. Sometimes they will make you consume things that do not seem particularly like you want to put them in your mouth. They can pretend to put a plastic bag over your face.
What?
They stick you in a room and yell at you. It's a lot.
No.
I mean,
no part of this sounds good to me.
There was a time limit on it. I think that's the thing for me, because some of these haunted houses out there, like, they have this ability to take total control of you, but there's also no time limit on it. You could go in for 45 minutes, you could go in for 3 hours, and you have no control of that. That's where I start to go, like, I need to know that it's going to end. I can be terrified for 45 minutes to an hour straight, and I'll be okay. After that, I'm like, I need to know. But I mean, and that, I did it once with a bunch of friends, and we kind of all came out of it like, yeah, that was fun. I don't know if it was fun, actually.
Yeah.
I guess I'm glad I could say I did it. I don't know if I would tell anybody that I loved to do it.
And that's interesting to me, the idea that there are haunted houses that go beyond, like, that, creating that little adrenaline rush. That, like you said, is the same kind of reason people ride roller coasters, right?
Right.
Just that little surge of that fight or flight response, just a little bit, in a controlled, safe environment where we know on a deep level we're not actually in danger. I feel like, though, there are haunted houses now that are trying to push past that.
I mean, some of the ones I've read about are so much more extreme. Like, even my experience with blackout, like, there are points where it's like you're fighting against every instinct you have. Like, I should assault this person that is trying to assault me, or I should definitely not, you know, I don't know why this old lady wants my shoe, but I'm going to give it to her. Like, the things that you would not do if you were actually in that situation. So you're still trying to kind of follow the rules of, like, I'm a participant in this, so I should do what I'm told. But then every part of your body is going like, what? No, this is crazy. You did a crazy thing and you need to get out of here.
Can I ask the logistics on that? If they take your shoe and don't give it back, I feel like...
I was one of the ones that didn't get my shoe taken, but a bunch of my friends did. And then at the end, there's a room where all your shoes are, so you kind of grab your shoe. Okay. But it's still like you're in such a space of your mind there that, like, one of my buddies just left his shoe behind. We had to go back and, like, ask, like, the scary, like, guy outside, like, yo, he forgot his shoe. It's like, oh, okay. So, like, they like, rounded up some shoes. But,
well, because that would be a big deal for you. Like, I feel like here, like, we drive everywhere. Yeah. We don't have public transportation, really. It's not walkable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would just hop in the car and be sad I lost my shoe. But that could be, like, a big problem if you've got to, like, take the train home.
No, I think that was Blackout. That might have been a different one. But I was glad that it wasn't me. But, and it wasn't everybody. But, you know, like, scary old lady asks you for your shoe. You just go, okay.
See, I went through a haunted house, also called Blackout. It was a very different experience.
I don't think this was Blackout.
No, it was called Blackout because it was, like, literally everything was very dark. Like, you could not see anything. All the walls were painted black and all the lights were off. They put you on a rope in a group of people, like when you're in, like, kindergarten and you're, you know, supposed to follow the leader, so you're all supposed to keep a hand on the rope.
Uh-huh.
They tell you to all keep a hand on the rope so that you are, like, following a person that knows where they're going. And then there are occasionally, like, strobe light flashes where there are spooky things right in front of your face. And, like, people come up right next to you and then the light flashes and there's someone next to you and then it's dark again.
Huh.
But, like, we were on a rope the whole time with a group of people.
I don't know that might kill the experience.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think when you go to a haunted house, obviously not everybody's out for the same thing. I think some people are just, my friends dragged me here, I want to get through this without, like, crying or like having a heart attack. I think some people are going for an authentic experience. I know that that's what I do. You want that, like, one moment where you kind of fall out of time and go, oh god, this could be real. I don't think it's necessarily just a horror experience. I mean, we've talked before about Sleep No More experience here in New York City. And, you know, it's funny how much said that you're so worried about people touching you, but you've done Sleep No More a couple times and they could totally touch you in that.
That's a good point. That's a good point. They can touch you and, like, lock you in a room with them for a second and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I, now, you know what's weird, though? I never find that experience scary in the way that I find some of these haunted houses. I find it, like, disturbing. I'm a little unsettled, but I was much more, maybe I'm just weird. When I got pulled into a room for a one-on-one and Sleep No More, I was way more excited than I was scared.
Right.
Like, to see what was about to happen.
Right.
It was a very, I mean, it's another feeling that, like, you try to achieve with these kinds of things. It's another kind of, like, adrenaline rush. But, like, I felt very, like, oh, this could be awesome. I can't wait to see what's about to happen. I can't wait to tell everybody about it afterwards. Totally. It was way more that than scared.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd never want to do a haunted house where they could touch you and take you places, but I do want to do Sleep No More. Yeah. Like, that's something I'd want to do.
And see, I
guess it's pretty close.
I mean, I like both of them for the same reason, because I think there's that moment of weird, it's not authenticity, but it's that moment where you start playing the role that you're playing. You know, it's like, yes, yeah, somebody's playing a role, but you're also suddenly, like, you know, you're the person tearing through the haunted house or running from the serial killer or, you know, yeah, being subject to their whims. Like, it's kind of, it's exciting for that reason, because somehow you've been pushed beyond just being a spectator. You're now part of it. And I dig stuff like that. And, you know, it is interesting. One of my friends bartends at Sleep No More, and we went out a while ago. We're talking with some of the cast members about what they look for. Like, how do you know? Because you don't know if someone's going to be chill. And they have a lot of crazy stories about people, like, breaking down doors to, like, get their girlfriend out of a room that an actor pulled them into because they're like, oh, no, oh, you're taking my lady. Like. You know, it's hard for the actors too, because they have to try to find people that look basically like they're down for it, and everybody's wearing a mask, so, like, it's a hard game of trying to just pick the people that seem to be like, I want to do that, I definitely want do a weird thing to me, I'm so down for it. So just try to, like, pump that energy out into the universe anytime I'm in those situations, be it a haunted house or a live theater experience. Like, I'm down for it, whatever it is, pick me.
That's got to be tough, though, because I would think if I were one of the actors, I would want somebody who was down for it, but I would also want my safety. I would also be concerned about my own safety, because you want somebody who's not, like a creeper, you know?
Yeah. Right. Oh, I...
Like, too down for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird to me, because I can only imagine... Our mom went through Sleep No More, and I don't imagine that she looked super down to be pulled into a room, but if you ask her about her experience with Sleep No More, she will go right into that story and tell you about how she was pulled into a room by herself.
She was pretty freaked out by
She was very freaked out.
She left.
Rock a baby.
Yeah, and then yeah.
She had to rock an empty cradle.
She was very freaked out by that.
Very. Which, like, is understandable. I'd probably be sufficiently freaked out, but I also feel like I put out that vibe. It's like, don't. Like, I will go through this thing. I won't be upset with this thing. I will be into it, but I will not be that into it that I want you to take me into a room by myself. I am a small person. Please leave me alone.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's always that moment where you can tell the performer's looking around, like, who's it gonna be? And, like, a couple of us will, like, step forward, like, me, it's me. And then everyone else just goes back, like, no.
Yeah. No.
You know, there are the people like that who will say, I want to get someone who's into it, which, like, makes sense. Like, you want someone who's into it because, you know, they'll be more fun, I feel like, to do it. And you're not terrifying someone.
Sure.
But then there are the haunted houses you go through. Like, there was one I went through where they want to take the people who look most scared of everything. Like, I was in one where I forget even what room we were in, but I was the most terrified of everyone in that room by far. And they made me come up and lay in a coffin that shut. And then the coffin, like, zoomed on wheels into another room away from everyone. And I had to find my way back to the people I was with. It was like, why would you shut me in this coffin? Please, I'm the most scared person here. That guy over there looks like he's dying to get in that thing. Please.
I would. Oh, man. See, that's where these kind of cross the line for me. Like, we were watching a documentary about extreme, and I don't even know that you would call these haunted houses.
No, I don't.
In my opinion.
I know what you're talking about, and yeah, I agree.
I even hate to name some of them, because, like, I don't want to give them, I don't know.
You don't want them to you don't want them to find you and kidnap you and drag you into their horror pits.
I don't care about making him mad. I think
Sydney wants to make
him
mad.
I feel like that's a good start to a found footage film. You know, you have the podcaster dogging some haunted house like way out in the middle of nowhere that they saw in some random documentary on Netflix, and then they show up at your door and make you go through it. But surprise, it's really a torture pit. It's all real.
Well, I think the one we were watching in these haunted houses, they are extreme in the sense that one, not only can they touch you, they can grab you, they can hold you down, they can tie you up, they can rip your clothes, dump stuff on you, spit in your face, make you eat things, drink things. One that we kept seeing was like they kept shoving somebody in like a freezer.
Yeah.
Like one of those big open top freezers. Oh. And just like shoving them down in there and like closing it. And they were something that looked very much like waterboarding.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just like bad.
It's just torture.
That's just, yeah.
Well, and that's totally bridges a line. When you're straight up mimicking torture techniques, like things that are banned. Like,
and they're. And the way that they make money off this stuff is by putting the videos online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other level of, like, upsetting because someone's watching them.
Right.
Yeah. And these people are, while yes, they are consenting to go through it, and they are told ahead of time that it will be extreme and that all these things could happen. Of course, I'm sure they sign waivers. Yes, yeah. They sign waivers. Or they would have been sued by now and right. Shut down. But I don't know that, like, that you could ever sign a paper that would describe what, at least in this documentary, it appears they put these people through. And they look genuinely unhinged while they're in there. Like, they have lost touch with reality and with what is happening. They are completely controlled by the people, like, the haunters. And the guy who runs it with a camera in your face the whole time, mocking you, screaming at you, telling you that you're never getting out, telling you you're going to die here, telling you that you shouldn't have signed up because this is the end for you.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that you can keep track of what's real and what's not after a while.
Well, and,
and these people don't.
Yeah. That's one of those that lacks a time limit. Like, they keep you in there for as long as they want to. And you kind of get, like, there's a point that became disturbing for me where it's like, you know, like I said, like, I've done some extreme-esque haunted houses, but they're still very, like, they're very popular, they're very public, they're very safe, they're smack in the middle of New York City. Like, yeah, they might be allowed to touch you or, like, you know, do some weird stuff to you, shout at you, but, like, there's still that, I still feel like they're performers putting on a show, and they're not getting some weird personal, like, high off of my suffering. They are providing me with an experience. Right. The focus is still my experience. And if any point, and these haunted houses all have safe words too. Like, a lot of the extreme haunted houses, if you look at a performer and say, I need out now, they take you out. You are out. Right. You're done.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they work.
They don't want to put anyone in actual danger.
No. And like this, the ones that Sid's talking about, there's no safe words. You can't get out. They do not physically let you out, no matter how much. I mean, people pass out, they faint, they look like they're having like psychic breaks. Like, that's, you know, the brain, everybody's brain is different as far as what it can take. And I don't want to know what my edge is as far as that.
And I found it very concerning that at least what they were showing in this documentary, and you have to imagine, like, the people who make this haunted house want it to look very scary and intense to draw people in. But they also want to make it look like, but it's harmless. And they specifically showed people who, after going through it, were like, thank you so much. Can I work for you and help you do this to other people? They had several people say that exact statement. Yes, I want to do this to other people now.
Oh, gosh.
Which to me is like a very disturbing, like, as a physician, I find that a very scary reaction. And this is not like a some sort of like dominant submissive relationship that is based on like contracts and trust and safe words and agreed upon arrangements. You know, I am not in any way dissing that lifestyle. This is something separate. There is no safe word. There is no getting out. The contract is, oh, you signed to say you're coming in. We'll do whatever we want to you now. And you'll get out if we say it's okay. And I don't know. I don't know the legality of things. I'm not a lawyer, but I feel like there's something there that can't be okay, right? Is that okay?
I mean, I guess it depends on what you're signing.
Can you sign up? I mean, but no, if you sign that, like, you're okay with this, like, can they, I mean, is there just no, what if they accidentally kill somebody while they're waterboarding them? Because they could. I mean, that's the thing. Like, they even talk about, like, they had to stop using teenagers because teenagers were, like, I think one of the teenagers was, like, hooking up with somebody that came through the haunt or something. And so they decided, like, we need to use more mature people. And some of the people that they start employing are, like, self-identifying as, like, I'm a, like, white supremacist.
Yeah.
Which I found a little upsetting and scary. Yeah. And, like, if you're going into this, do you know who works there? Do you know who they've hired? And do you know if they won't decide, like, this is so much fun, I'm going to keep going? Or maybe they just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I am a doctor. I don't know how long I could hold somebody underwater.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't do it. I would never do that. I don't understand that. But, like, I wouldn't know. So if you don't know, you don't have any medical training, you could accidentally kill somebody in there.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they get shut down then, but, like, is that what we're waiting for? I don't know. Yeah. I think this is beyond.
Well, this is going to sound like a dad story because it's kind of a bummer. And it is a dad story. I got this from our dad. But he told me about that there was a haunted house and this, like, teenage couple went through it. And the guy, the employer or employee at the end was, like, giving him a hard time because the guy kept pushing the girl out in front, even though the girl was scared. He was like, oh, is your boyfriend there giving you a hard time, making you go through all the stuff first and be in front of everyone? She was like, yeah, he was. And the employee was like, oh, you want to get him back? Here, stab him with this. And handed her a knife that she assumed was one of those ones, like, the blade goes into the handle, like the plastic ones. But it was a real one. And she stabbed her boyfriend, and the employee ran off and disappeared.
Is this true?
Dad read this article.
Are you sure
and
Dad
showed
didn't
it to
see
me
a movie
and
got confused?
I don't know, but he told me about this and said they weren't even sure if this guy was actually an employee there or not. It was one of those ones where, like, it's not, like, at an amusement park. It's one of the ones that you'd maybe go to, like, at a, I don't know, that someone has put together with no rules, really.
Who was it? Big Joe? Big Joe hasn't worked here for 50 years.
Big Joe died 10 years ago.
It was a freak accident inside the house.
He was stabbed with a knife he thought was plasma.
Oh, no.
Now, if this is true, though, this is a terrible story, and I'm very sorry.
Yes. Yeah, it is terrible.
To someone.
But, like, stuff like that could happen at houses like that.
I think, and I mean, most of them, I am sure, are harmless, good fun. Because, like, again, American Scream, you should watch it. These are people who just genuinely love making something kind of spooky.
Right.
For, like, the neighborhood.
Right.
People, like, kids and stuff to go through. And I think that is lovely. And I love, like, watching how much time and energy people will devote to just, like, giving somebody else, like, a moment of, like, and then moving on with their day. Like, I think that's wonderful. So I'm sure that most home haunts are probably like that.
Oh, yeah.
These are definitely the outliers. But you're right in that when you, I mean, there is that fear of, like, this is unrestricted.
Yeah.
This is an off the grid haunted house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything could happen.
Well, I think I've seen enough horror movies to know. It's like, it's one thing to go, like I said, to the middle of Manhattan and go to a haunted house. And while, yes, the experience you have in there might give you a feeling of authenticity, you're in the middle of Manhattan. I don't know if I would drive out to the middle of nowhere where somebody has, like, made me, like, sign a contract ahead of time and, like on that one, like, they go through your social media and they, like, profile you and they want to know your fears. Like, I don't think I go down that road. I think that's enough red flags for me to say nope.
I agree, and I wonder what that is. I don't know what that is. Like, people like being scared, and that's an old thing. Humans have liked intentionally, you know, seeking out thrills and scares and stuff for a long time, so that's not new. But, like, there's definitely a shift towards the more intense, the more realistic, and I think that kind of surprises me, because if anything, I feel like I am less likely to trust people now than I was, you know, well, I could say just a couple years ago, but certainly when I was a teenager, like 20 years ago, I am much less likely. Like, I look around the world and think there are a lot more scary people out there than I used to believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that the way your generation feels, Riley? Don't
yeah.
Like, you can't, aren't you back to like the old Nixon days? Like, don't trust anybody over 30.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it like the whole thing where, you know, you watch shows like Stranger Things set in the 80s? Is mm-hmm. that where that's set? And the kids like ride their bikes to and from each other's house by themselves at dark, or walk home from school or whatever. And now it's like, oh, you can't do that. Can't walk anywhere alone at night. Like, can't go out in the dark, you know, walk with people, which are good things. I'm not saying like you should be unsafe now, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I feel like there's just a more general sense of distrust.
Well, I will also say, like, I no longer feel the desire to go to extreme haunted houses or even haunted houses in general, because I think the world's just scary enough now. Like,
yeah,
when you have that veil of safety around you, it feels like, oh, I want to go get a good scare. Now I'm like, I'll watch a good scary movie. I don't feel the need to seek out any fear. I just wake up with it on a daily basis.
There you go.
I'm going to watch Fox News for 2 hours. Woo!
Are we kind of living in one of those unrestricted, no rules?
And we don't know when it ends. Oh,
fully
man.
Immersive haunted houses.
And we didn't even sign a contract. Where's my
we
waiver?
We didn't even sign a contract.
I want my safe word, America.
Sorry. No, that's true. That I wonder. I would be really interested to see stats of like what age groups are going into these kinds of haunted houses, because I feel like the whole like seeking out haunted houses is very much a teen thing,
yeah.
right? Teens and like 20s, like those are the people who
the
like,
people going to the extreme ones. I'd say are a little bit older than me, maybe starting like 18 or 19, but probably going into like, you know, early mid 20s.
I'd be really interested,
not like
to know.
High school age kids.
Yeah, I'd be really interested to know if that's like going to be a generational shift where like the younger people are like, we get enough of this every day,
yeah.
because you older people screwed everything up and we don't trust you, and we certainly don't want to walk into your creepy basement
yeah.
and let you lock us in a refrigerator.
Yeah, no thanks.
You've stuck us in the forever haunted house. We're in it already.
Yeah, we're good on that.
You know, there's only one way out, though.
Voting. Voting.
You have to vote your way out.
Vote your way out.
Vote your way out of the haunted house, America.
That's the safe word.
That's
I
the safe word. Your vote.
That is the safe word. I voted. Don't let them stop you.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna vote. Never been able to vote before. I'm gonna vote.
Yay.
Go vote.
Are you gonna vote, Tay?
I am gonna vote. I mean, I've voted every year. I've been capable of it, and I live in New York, so it's just throwing my vote into a sea of blue, but I will still always do it.
Well, we, you know, our votes are really going to matter this election, mm-hmm. Rilo.
I know.
Here in West Virginia.
You know?
Yep. So, vote, everybody. Please, vote. Especially all you young people out there.
That's what this episode was all
fellow
about.
Fellow teens.
We took a while
fellow
getting
young
there,
people.
Yeah.
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 Because guess what? In honor of Grandparents' Day, and I love me some grandparents. We have been, we have been lucky to have in our lives some of the best grandparents you could ever ask for.
Absolutely.
All that being said, your grandparents are voting.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, way more so than you are.
So listen to that.
That's the spookiest part.
Your grandparents that like don't understand your music or your fashion and like have horrible outdated ideas, like, yeah, they bake you pies and then they say things, you're like, oh, granny, that's terrible. Those are the people that are controlling your lives.
They're voting.
And you can love them and hug them and thank you when they bake you those pies, but just go vote too.
Yeah,
just, you know, don't tell them, just be like, yeah, thanks for the pie, grandpa, gotta go, be back real quick.
Or even better, like, maybe engage them in a conversation and be like, you know, I'm going to vote too, Grandma, but here's who I'm voting for. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's have a good heart-to-heart about why we feel the way we do.
Who knows where that'll go?
You might lose that pie, but you know what? That's okay. I'll bake you a pie. It'll be terrible and vegan, but I'll do it.
It's our only hope. Vote, and then go tell people in a very civil manner who you voted for and why, if you want to.
If you want to.
I mean, if you want to. No. You don't have to. You can keep it secret. That's the beauty of it.
Let's get out of that.
But, you know, people can tell if you voted. I saw a commercial that was pushing that idea today.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell who you voted for, but
they can tell if you did.
Yeah. Anybody can look up, like, whether or not someone participates in an election is a public record. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that was supposed to be peer pressure. I thought that was a very strange angle to take. But it was aimed at, like, your age group, Riley. Yep. Like, your friends can go look online and see if you really voted.
We're not going to be friends anymore if you don't vote. So
there you go.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you, sisters. We took a weird turn there at the end, but I think that's okay.
I think that's the end of every episode for the next couple weeks. By the way, vote.
Yeah, really. Also vote. Please vote. Thank you to, by the way, anybody who is a listener to this show as well, who came out to the book signing this past week for Sawbones, for the book that I co-wrote and Taylor illustrated. Thank you so much.
Yes,
thank
you.
It was lovely to meet so many people face to face, and everyone said nice things. And I know some were still Buff listeners specifically. So thank you. And thank you for buying the book. And
I made a best of episode all by myself.
That's
recorded, right. Recorded ads all by myself, put it all together all by myself. So, you know.
That was a great job.
Thank you for doing that.
We're doing that. There's that if no one's listened to it yet.
It's best ofs are a great way if you have like a friend that you've been trying to get to listen to Still Buff. That's like a great way to share the show. So
got some real goofs in there.
So if you like us and you think like, I got a friend I think would like it too, or an enemy, whatever, maybe make a friend
yeah.
And send them the link to our best of. That's a great way to kind
of
show like
there are three of them.
The flavor of our show.
They're a little bit shorter, some shorter bits. You can stop and start whenever you want.
Yeah.
Try it out.
Thank you to Maximum Fun, the wonderful network of podcasts that hosts our show. You should check out MaximumFun.org for a lot of great shows you'll enjoy. You can tweet at us at StillBuff. You can email us at StillBuffering@MaximumFun.org. Your thoughts, suggestions, questions, comments, all of you who are run those scary haunted houses who are mad at me. You can just email me and let me know. That's fine.
No, we like all the home haunters. We just don't like the ones that cross the line.
Yeah, no. I love people who do it for fun. But and thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Your Mind.
This has been Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am a teenager.
And please get us out of the boat, please. We want out.
The secret is out. I, Open Mike Eagle, officially had a wrestling match. And on the next Tyson Fights, I'm talking all about it. From the rap battles that got us started.
Open Mike, you ain't ready.
Oh, really?
You come like some spaghetti.
And to how I hurt myself in ways I didn't know I could. That day and the day before, I got so many texts from people who really care about me who were like, please don't break your neck. The only place you can get the full story is on the newest episode of Tights and Fights. Find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.